The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another emergency episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. 2-1 week. I mean, we're like 1-4 right now, but like the front office is at least taking the pain away, at least temporarily, giving us a shot of morphine every second or third day. Reason we're back for this one, big story of the day. Red Sox have extended Christian Campbell, who is the number 7 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. He is locked up on an 8-year guaranteed deal with 2 option years tacked on to the very end of that. So he could potentially be here for the next 10 years, counting this year. He got a $2 million signing bonus. Well, the overall deal was worth $60 million, if I didn't mention it. So he got a $2 million signing bonus. He will make $1 million this year, $2 million in year 2, $3 million in year 3, as my battery almost goes dead, $4 million in year 4, and then in the succeeding years beyond year 4, $6 million, $9 million, $13 million, $16 million. He has an option. This would be the 9th year if the Red Sox opt to pick it up, $19 million with a $4 million buyout, and then in the final year, option year number 2, he could make $21 million. There is also escalators based on awards voting and all-star selections. We don't have all those details at the moment, but it could be worth, if all the options are picked up, 10 years, $100 million. So, Nick, this wasn't the way we drew it up, and we were talking about what could possibly happen this morning hours before it went down, but what's your reaction?
I think it's an incredible deal for the Red Sox. Having a chance to get Christian Campbell's prime years that cheap and those option years at $19 million and $21 million in 9 and 10 years down the line. In 10 years, $21 million is going to be a bad player. They're going to be making $21 million. So if Christian Campbell's as good as we think he is, and that'll be age, what, 31, 32 season, that's still not the end of his career. So he still should be a good quality player at that time, if not a superstar like we think he could be. I think it's an incredible deal by the Red Sox. Yeah, I think we were a little bit wrong on how we thought the deal would be structured, but I'm happy with how it went down. And, I think, this was great timing because the Sox had been bad, put it out there. But the front office has been picking us up, so we'll see how it comes. Hopefully the team comes out hot after these 2 big extensions, so we'll see.
Well, the pressure is certainly off him, not that it seemed to be getting to him, and the pressure's off Crochet. So that's 2 conversations that's not going to be happening for the remainder of the season in that clubhouse. But we mentioned we did touch on Campbell at the end of the Garrett Crochet emergency pod, and we referenced Jackson Chourio's deal, which was worth roughly $82 million over 8 years. So I was thinking, and I think we both were, that it would be around there. That would be about where the floor was. Then this very morning, hours before the Campbell news broke, the San Diego Padres extended their young outfielder, Jackson Merrill, to a 9-year, $135 million deal. So now I'm thinking, okay, so Chourio is probably the floor at about 82. Now we know what the ceiling possibly could be if things get insane. And we had no idea. No numbers had been floated to us as far as rumors. We just knew they were in the final stages of possibly that extension. And then the news dropped $60 million. I was stunned. I was probably thinking about 90 to 100 million. In my head, I'm like, that's probably about where it'll be. And he's the number seven prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And for comparison, Seydon Rafaela got an 8-year, $50 million deal. And so I would have assumed Campbell was worth way more than that. But as it turned out, only an extra $10
million. Yeah, it's awesome. It's only $10 million more than Rafaela. And the fact they have those option years, I think it's going to be a steal. I think it's going to be up there. A lot of people were comparing it to like Acuna's contract. I mean, it really could be around the same value, about $100 million. And they both could be locked up. I think Acuna was locked up a little bit longer, but
he had a base salary of 100 over 8 years. So, and then I don't know if there were options tacked on. I went to look at it, but forgot to do it. But I mean, you look what Merrill got with the Padres, the Red Sox got a way better deal. They got a player with similar upside for about half the money. And the 135 I mentioned with Merrill, he does have escalators as well, which could take it above 200 million if I read correctly. So I don't know exactly how it would go that route, but still, I mean, the Red Sox got a phenomenal deal. And just think of how we got him. We said no to Xander Bogaerts. We didn't sign him to 11 years, $280 million. Instead, we got a compensation pick. I'm pretty sure that was Christian Campbell that we picked with that compensation pick. So the Padres get Bogaerts for $280 mil through his age 41 season. We get Christian Campbell till age 31 or 32 at about a third of the money. I think it worked out pretty good for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And as far as I'm assuming he's going to play second base for the majority of that. I mean, he has had one outfield start so far, but if he does stay at second, I mean, he, from an offensive standpoint, he could be better than Pedroia. I don't think he'll ever be as good defensively, but I mean, you just don't get perennial all-star type production at second base in many teams across the league. It's a weak position.
Yeah, he could be like Alfonso Soriano was early in his career when he came up as a second baseman, and then they moved him to left and right field. But I think he's got a chance to stick at second base for many years to come, and he's got a similar swing type with the power. He's also got the speed. I think his only downside is the defense at second base, but I think he's going to get better. He's only 22 years old, and I think this is a guy that fits well into the team, and it's a great extension. I'm very happy it got done, and I'm very surprised about how cheap it got done. I think, like you said, 90 million was probably around the floor. I thought it would be. I thought you had a chance to get to 100, 90 million. I'm surprised that Churio got more. I really am. I know he was ranked the second highest prospect. That was 2 years ago at this point.
And do you remember who was over him? I don't remember.
No.
Okay. No, it's all good. And it came from the Brewers of all teams that gave him that. So that's interesting.
It was Wander Franco who was the only guy over him, I think.
Yeah, he got a massive deal from the Rays.
He had like 2 or 3 months under his belt, maybe a little bit less than that. He came up at like in August.
Okay.
And then he got the deal. Campbell had like 3 days. Churio had like 3 days. Like they were first week of the year type of deals.
Gotcha. You know, as far as the length, I needed at least 9 years, even if it took options to get there. But 9 years of control was what I needed, because I think, as I mentioned in the last emergency podcast, if Roman Anthony comes up in a couple weeks, you're going to gain an extra year of service time. So essentially 7 full years, counting this year. And so if we only came away with like 8 guaranteed with Campbell, I wouldn't have felt great about that. I wouldn't have feel like we really maximized the situation, but it played out exactly as I wanted. 10 years of control, and hopefully the rest is history. There's no mention of Meyer getting an extension. Like, there's no buzz there. I wonder if the injury history there is kind of giving the front office pause.
I think it's more of the lack of place to play him right now. He's still behind Story, and now he's behind Bregman. I think if Bregman opts out, I think they will explore that because they probably move him to third base. I don't think Devers is ever going back to third base, no matter what.
I think Devers is gone
off third base. It's either going to be Bregman, Meyer, unless Story gets hurt again, which he very well could, and then Meyer is going to be the everyday shortstop, and then they might, right now, I don't think you give him an extension when he has no clear set path of what position he's going to play and where he's going to play. You know, I think you'd have to wait a little bit for him.
Well, if we keep racking up L's, and Trevor Story, I think he might only have one hit on the season still. I mean, you can't have an automatic out in that lineup. I mean, they put a lot of work into the 2025 team, so you don't want to just shoot yourself in the foot every day. Eventually, tough decisions have to be made, and we're starting to see the new business model here, you know, with some of these young guys. So you're not going to see Trevor Story type deals ever again, I wouldn't think. You know, maybe more of the Alex Bregman type for premium talent. I could see that. But yeah, and what are the chances Anthony signs anything? He's not going to sign the Campbell deal, but would he sign the Jackson Merrill deal with a $135 million base, or do you think it even has to be higher than that?
From the way Roman Anthony's talking, I think it has to be higher, but it shouldn't be higher because Jackson Merrill's already had a year of almost pretty much all-star level. I think, did he make the all-star team? I don't know, but he came second in the rookie of the year behind a historic Skeens season. He had a great season. So Roman Anthony hasn't had a single major league at bat. He's got like, I don't even know how many AAA at bats, but not many. So I don't know if you can give him as much as Jackson Merrill, even if you think he's going to be a better player. I just think Roman Anthony will ask for more. I don't think the Red Sox will give him more.
I'm just trying to pull up Merrill's numbers here. He was an all-star last year. I didn't know if he'd been called up quick enough. But yeah, he played 156 games. Okay, I thought it was a little bit further out. Yeah, and just, I mean, Jackson Merrill, I picked him on the prediction show right before opening day to be my MVP. And I was kind of going out on the limb there, but he had 24 home runs, 90 runs batted in, hit .292 at a .326 on base, .826 OPS. But yeah, I mean, if you got that from Anthony in the first year, he's going to have all the leverage. But the other thing I keep reminding myself, though, is if we're consistently pumping out talent, you don't have to lock up everybody because the next guy is going to be available in 2 to 4 years.
I agree. Yeah. Right now, I think you just focus on winning this season. You got Crochet deal done. You got the Campbell. You got the deal that needed to be done, which was Crochet, and then you got a luxury deal done in Campbell, and I'm happy that both got done. So I don't think there's any other pressing needs right now except figure out how to hit, and then we'll see what happens later contract-wise if you want to try to extend Meyer or maybe Walker Buehler if he's pitching well. I don't know what you want to go next, but right now I think you just get these hitters right. And I think the front office did his job.
One guy who's a big, kind of a big loser in all of this is Tristan Casas. Do you think there's a little bit of remorse there
for not signing his contract? I guess they offered him.
Yeah.
Maybe. I just don't think he read the market right. He's a big bodied first baseman, and he's never going to get paid a lot of money out in free agency. So I think he probably will regret it. I don't know if he does yet, but I think he will regret it.
Yeah, I mean, he's making what, maybe $1 million, $1.5 million. And I guess Campbell's not making a lot more the way it's backloaded, but Campbell certainly has a lot more security. And I think with the amount of times they tried to trade Casas this year, he kind of blew it, I would say, in terms of staying in the Red Sox good graces and trying to get that deal done. Trying to see where we are in the luxury tax, but we got to be way above it now.
I think it's like 255. Yeah, we're above it.
Okay. Actually, I just found
a decent chunk, I think.
Google Docs. Oh, come on. Oh, here we go. It was giving me a stupid ad I haven't seen. $257 million. So we're over it by $16 million, and I don't know where that first threshold is. I think it's $20 million over, if I'm not mistaken. So we're coming up on that. I don't see a way to really free up money at this point. I mean, maybe you could trade Giolito. That could be a way to free up $19 million, but he would have to string together some strong starts. And I don't think the Yoshida money's going anywhere. The Trevor Story money, I think you're just so stuck as far as all that goes.
No, I think you're all in this year. You just commit to it. I don't really think there's any chance you offload money unless you attach prospects to one of these guys. And I don't think the front office is going to do that. I don't think Breslow will let them do that in this kind of season. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to. Hopefully they don't stay under that. Hopefully they add at the deadline and go over that 20 mil threshold, but we'll see.
I was just thinking, I mean, what would we add at the deadline? I think a reliever makes the most sense.
Bullpen, and then maybe catcher upgrade.
True.
That's about really it. We'll see what the starting rotation looks like at that time. But I don't think they're going to go get a big name starter.
Yeah, I don't think so. Someone was asking me earlier, like, has Breslow won us over? Like, he hasn't screwed up a ton of things. The Giolito thing obviously hasn't gone swimmingly, but I probably would have taken that plunge too. And I don't know. It's just things are different now. This is a much different team than we've ever had, really.
The process is different if you compare him to Bloom. You're not spending money. I mean, look at the two contracts we just put up. The only real big extensions from Bloom were Devers, which wasn't him. That was Henry getting a lot of flack from the fans, and he finally decided to pay Devers. And then Rob Refsnyder. These are guys that – and then he went out and spent the rest of his money on Yoshida and Story – when Breslow has spent most of his money on Crochet and Christian Campbell, which are look like two great people to, put money into. Like, I think it was a great signing there for both of them. Instead of signing mid-30s free agents like Bloom did, like Yoshida already at 29, 30, and everybody said he overpaid for him. But, you know, I'd rather just go out and pay this talent, young talent that's going to be here for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how the Astros did it. The Braves sort of did it. I mean, some of them got much bigger deals. Austin Riley, they probably waited too long with him. But Acuna, Albies all got pretty team-friendly deals. And there must have been at least one more in there, I forget. But
they got Spencer Strider cheap. But true. He hasn't really performed lately.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming back from Tommy John. I think he had the bracing procedure done. Someone else mentioned, I was just trying to look through my tweets and I can't find it. I was going to give him a shout out, but someone said, you know, this could be Theo Epstein's influence. You know, maybe he's kind of influencing Breslow a little bit. And I don't know if he is or he isn't, but if you go back to the Epstein tenure, you know, 03 through 2011, he did buy up arbitration on Pedroia, Lester, and Buchholz, and then tacked on a couple years beyond that and bought up a couple free agent years. So he could be right. I mean, it hasn't really been done since then. They waited too long with Mookie Betts. They waited too long with Devers, quite frankly. You could have had him far cheaper. But I don't know. Do you think it is Epstein at all?
Yeah, 100%. I think he's got some sort of input. I mean, why not? Why? What else is he doing if he's not giving input to Breslow? I mean, they have some sort of relationship from Chicago and the Yale. You know, I just think Breslow's at least asking for ideas.
Yeah. I mean, last season he was saying he would text Epstein almost daily, you know, just to bounce stuff off of him. So I don't know. I mean, Breslow, he's been better at handling the media this year and all kinds of things, but I just can't say that I'm all the way back. You know, I think Breslow, even last year when I was so frustrated, it was still the lesser of all the evils. But I'm definitely still not a Sam Kennedy guy. John Henry's kind of won me back a little bit. But it's hard not to be mad at that 5 or 6 year period, because you could have been competitive. You could have signed a bunch of 2 or 3 year deals and made the playoffs while still drafting some of these guys. None of that would influence the Campbell, you know, situation, assuming we still don't sign Bogarts and Anthony. Was he a second rounder? I can't remember, but
he was like the supplemental. He's like the 33rd overall pick. Anthony.
Gotcha. Do you know how we got his?
He was another comp pick.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, and some other details that came out.
It was Eduardo Rodriguez.
That's pretty good. So we parlayed Erod for Roman Anthony. I never knew that. I guess I just thought he was a straight up second rounder, but yeah. So we'll wrap on this last thing here. The Garrett Crochet deal apparently was dead in the water when Breslow made those comments. Well, we missed the deadline. We couldn't come to an agreement. We're going to respect his wishes. And then I can't remember if it was a Rob Bradford article or perhaps an interview he had with Garrett Crochet. And Crochet said, well, we were close, you know, and I'll be more optimistic on the next round of negotiations. That was the bat signal by the sounds of it. And then they got it done just a couple days later. And Breslow, I did see a clip of him talking to Bradford, and Breslow said the deal came together pretty fast.
I think they offered him a fair deal. Like, I think this was a perfect deal for both sides. So maybe in the last second, once Crochet made those comments, they're like, there's a chance he's going to come here, so let's just offer it to him. And then they got it done, and I'm very happy they did, because it'd be very nervous going into next season without him, because this whole plan could have failed. I mean, imagine signing Campbell without knowing Crochet was here. I think it would have been kind of stupid. I think you had to do Crochet first before you do the Campbell extension.
Yeah, it makes sense. And another nugget that came out about the Crochet deal that we did not know about, and if I understand it correctly, and I think I do, if he misses 120 days in his first 5 seasons, he loses his opt-out for the 6th year, and then the Red Sox gain an option for a 7th year. That's pretty good negotiating.
It's got to be 120 consecutive days, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
It can't be. I think he would have. Yeah.
But that would be Tommy John again.
Or a shoulder or something like that. But yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like it. I like the added protection that the Red Sox were able to gain in that deal. So, all right, we will wrap on that. We'll be back tomorrow night with our regular rotation of shows. So it could be business as usual here. If another emergency episode develops with another extension, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But in the meantime, we'll just kind of get back to it. Garrett Crochet pitching tonight. It's going to be starting in 1 minute, actually, from right now. He is facing off against Zach Eflin, so that should be a fun matchup. Hopefully our bats get going, and everyone enjoy the game and the rest of your week. Take care.